You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and welcome to Bureaucracy Now, your chance to talk about all things Port Townsend. And I'm Taylor Clark, and I am joined once again by my co-host, Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow.
Taylor, it feels like it's been a while.
It's been a couple months.
Now, what does it mean? Like, that song triggers two things for me. One, you play it right before I come on the air. And then two, it's on every mixtape anybody's ever made me in high school.
It means that our log builder, Rylan, picked it yesterday, and he wasn't even thinking about you.
Oh, shucks. Thank you.
And but it is on every mixtape, and, you know, and some of us wore out the vinyl back in the day.
Yeah, I kind of date myself talking mixtapes. It sounds so new.
It sounds new to me. But anyway, John is back. Are you tanned, ready, and rested?
Yes, I'm ready to do to have fun, to work hard, and to be kind. Those are my three priorities right now.
Those are good priorities.
Yeah.
Was it a reset for you? I know you.
Yeah.
You had been a long time without a vacation, right?
I mean, technically no, because I squirrel away for a day or two here and there. But honestly, in my entire professional career, I've never taken a break quite as long as this one while employed. Now, I have between gigs, and especially in my 20s, taken extended time, you know, between jobs. But I've never taken, basically all of February I was gone. And that's a pretty significant reboot. And it's got me just energized, not only because, you know, I'm not a liability anymore with all this leave bank that, you know, hangs over the city's head, but, you know, I come back refreshed, and I come back with a family who's, you know, increasingly happy to go back to, for instance, where my daughter was born. So we felt like we owed that to her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also had a chance to talk with some fantastic people in New Zealand, where I was in Aotearoa. And, you know, former colleagues, a former boss, former staff members, members of parliament, city council members. I mean, I was on vacation, but I couldn't help myself connecting with people.
But being and being doing the professional.
Yeah. I mean, I'm there, and it was just so fun. I was telling my team this just the other day, and actually city council on Monday. When you go back to a place you worked hard, you know, I was there for about 7 years. And you think, gosh, why is it so hard pushing this ball uphill? It's just, you know, heavy and it's not going anywhere. But then you come back and things legitimately have changed, you mm-hmm. know, and a lot for the better. You know, of course, everyone's still struggling with things. But to be walking down the busiest street in the entire country, downtown in a city of 1.7 million people, bump into a city council member who I adore, who's been to Port Townsend, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And to be walking on a walking and cycle track that was formerly a roadway was pretty cool, for instance, you know, and some of the spaces have been transformed. Things I've worked on, and now it's actually down on the pavement.
Do you think you get too close to it and you don't see the change when you're kind of right in the thick of it, and then you go away for a while and you come back and you go, oh, look what they've done? Is that
possibly? Yeah, possibly. I think that's, you know, things take time, and when you're really up into it, you know, I'll also just admit that I'm sometimes quite impatient. You know, I want things to happen. I want things to work. I want us to, you know, fix our pool. I want our streets to look good. I want our, you know, sustainability for our finances forever. I mean, you know, pretty tall order. It actually takes a lot of elbow grease. It takes a lot of time. And so I think that's true. When you back out and you kind of come back after a number of years, you see that the change has happened. And it was set in motion a long time ago.
What do you see in Port Townsend? You've been away for a little bit. Did you have any, did anything, did... I don't quite know how to answer the question, but you have a little perspective on things, and you may have come back. Do you see it differently than you did before you took a little break?
It sure is nice to come home. I'll say that.
Oh, nice.
You know, and I think it was also, I won't avoid the fact that it was also really nice to go back to where I spent a lot of my life and made some really strong connections.
You're proud of that too.
People in place. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, you know, unlike maybe the marital world in our culture, at least, you know, you can love more than one and, you know, you don't have to pick a place, but, you know, clearly we picked here and we're back.
But places and jobs and yeah. organizations yeah, that's and right. people you work with, yeah.
Now, I'm really proud, you know, I think I gave a shout out the other day, but I'm really proud of the team.
It's number one on my list to ask you about.
Because they're just amazing. And you know, I know it might sound like I'm pandering and you know, here I am a city manager. I'm telling everybody my team's great. But no, for real, everybody. You know, a particular shout out goes to Steve King, who is acting city manager. In addition to his role as public works director, in addition to basically being the city engineer, in addition to a number of other things, he was able to do that. And now Steve and I talked roughly every week when I was away, mm-hmm. Just sort of in an advisory capacity on some major issues. And, you know, he really just nailed it. He was competent, caring, decisive, you know, just kind of what I know about Steve, but he really held it together. And all the department directors had an added duty. I said, unfortunately.
I'm crossing this item off my.
Bingo?
You
have the full card.
Yeah. Steve and I discussed this last week just a little bit, and I asked him how it had been going for him as the leader while you're gone, and he was very quick to say, well, it's been hard, but I've been well supported by the leadership team that's put together, and I was struck by the. By the sort of the truth of leadership, which isn't what you do when you're there. It's the team you put together, and you sometimes get to see how good a leader you are when you step back and say, "What can my team? What have I now empowered my team to do?" And I think that became clear as I worked my way. I have your list here.
Hey,
right?
Look at that. That's right. You talked to a lot of department directors.
I talked to a lot of department directors while you were gone, and they were interesting, engaged, excited about their job, and it's exciting. So you know,
we're pretty lucky to have a team this. And like you know, for instance, you know, Melody Weaver in the library, you know, took over this kind of the logistics of communication.
Yep.
You know, we had Emma Boland writing her. On our work plan overall. We had Carrie Height bringing together our weekly lead team meetings that we do, and we do some workshops, you know, kind of blue skies problem solving workshops every other week together, and she kept that itinerary going. You know, I can go on and actually name every one of them had an additional responsibility, and I'm grateful for that.
Heidi, did you mention Heidi? I talked to Heidi Greenwood, the city attorney. Yes. We talked to Emma Boland about the infill zoning effort. Mm-hmm. Connie Anderson was here to talk and talked about budgeting. We'll come back to budgeting.
Oh, good.
And then Melody was great because she was regularly had the Zoom up and Chief Olson was on.
Yep.
And then Steve King was on several times. And then you already mentioned Carrie.
Yeah.
So, it was great to have those folks here. And we put together a pretty good list.
Good. In a way, you know, it not only does it allow you to come back to no disasters, but actually, you know, there's some good perspective here. Not just, you know, I got a chance to think and kind of see the big picture again, but also I think giving people space to flex their leadership nous and muscle and you know, kind of give them a little extra challenge. It's a good test for the team.
Yeah.
I come back with renewed, refreshed perspective, but, you know, really nice to walk the streets or run the trails or bike the lanes and be in the buildings that I kind of miss, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to be back. And yes, I traded summer for winter, but,
That I did think about that. Damn it, he got summer.
I know. Yeah, I did. Although, you know, if anybody was watching the weather internationally, we had one direct hit hurricane. Two that were brewing off the north coast, kind of toward Vanuatu, a 6.3 magnitude earthquake that I felt while I was in the local pub talking about how bad the storms were.
And it wasn't the beer.
No. It was registered by the USGS even. You know, it was a big deal. Actually, 6.3 is the same magnitude
as the
second Christchurch quake that killed 185 people.
Was it not epicentered right where you were?
Correct.
Right? It was a ways away.
Yeah, it was just off the coast. But, you know, there's a lot of takeaways for how fragile infrastructure is, how really dire climate changes. You know, there's a national conversation around that here and there. And, you know, there's a lot to talk about, Taylor.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out if I should, you know, I mean, we could talk about, you know, poplars, trans rights, paving the golf course over, Raccoon House, but and yeah. of those, that's the only one I'm going to ask you about. And I'm only going to ask you about
it. You got my bingo card now.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you about it because when Owen was here with Heidi, they had gotten together and asked themselves, what kind of BS do you think Taylor will ask us? And they said, oh, he's going to ask us about Raccoon House. And so I got all ready. I looked Owen right in the eye, yeah. and I took a deep breath. And then I thought to myself, this isn't – because we were discussing culture and society. Mm-hmm. And I thought, no, this is infrastructure. I shouldn't be asking him. But, of course, it is culture and society. And so he told me after we got off the air he was ready for that.
Oh, nice.
Which I appreciated, but I haven't – that was 2 weeks ago, and I haven't had a chance to ask anybody about it since. But progress has been made
yeah.
with respect to Raccoon House.
Yep, yep. I think things are kind of – things are ticking along and seem to be in order. And look, I'll admit, it's I come on here – always enthusiastic to see you and to talk to the community I serve and that I'm a part of. But, you know, a little bit trepidatious because I think, you know, I don't want to say how many thousand emails I had and how many voicemails, but there was a number, many. And I still haven't fully caught up. I'll just admit I've been, yeah. you know, back for less than a week. And this is one that I sort of saw the top line. I saw a response. I saw a direction toward a gift to the city. And it put a smile on my face because yeah. to me that says, great, we have a path forward toward resolution.
Exactly.
We got there creatively and together, and we'll get this done.
So I got to, you know, say thumbs up to both Kevin Mason and to the city for finding a path through yeah. this, which I think wasn't easy for either of you.
No, but here we are. It's a great lesson, actually. Yeah.
It's being donated to the city, right? Is that
on
a short term basis, long term basis?
Yeah, that's.
I didn't quite get clear on that.
Yeah, I don't know what. I'll just be honest. I don't know what details are related to that I can and cannot talk to. I mean, I could just say that we found resolution at this point until I make sure. I don't want to put anybody in an uncomfortable position talking through what the proposal is. But yeah, it's the direction of donation to the city. Therefore, it becomes our, you know, kind of operational responsibility. It doesn't have to come down. You know, there's something kind of cool about the solution there.
Yeah, and it's nice when something can work out. You know, I know mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, being, you know, activism, mm-hmm. you know, we can step back and fold our arms and say, mm-hmm. oh, you know, it's the city and they're not doing anything. So mm-hmm. it's nice that that this worked out. And of course, that's why we're here, which reminds me, I should let folks know, dj@kptz.org, if you have a question. John and I will be here for another 15 minutes, and I'd be happy to look for your question and at least paraphrase it for John. I don't always read them word for word.
You can't read the profanity. You actually have to skip over that, right? As per FCC rules.
Right.
Just kidding. People are mostly fantastic. There's just a couple people. Just be nice, everybody.
So you mentioned as before we turned the microphones on that you were just before you came down here.
Yeah.
You were in the middle of doing something.
Want
to share that with
us? Well, actually, lots of things, just to be honest. I was doing multiple things at once. But one of the things of note.
There you go.
Is I was in a bank office earlier today with our Director of Finance and Technology Services, Connie Anderson. Mm-hmm. And we were signing things because City Council, through the budget process that led up to this year's budget, decided to use some of our reserve fund, which is actually fairly healthy, to pay off some of our debt early. Mm-hmm. And so there are two bonds, two kind of consolidated bonds from, I think it's 2017 and 2012, that we're going to eventually be fully paid off. But if we used, you know, the basic logic is if we use some reserve funding now, mm-hmm. We will pay off the bonds in full, therefore save well over $100,000 in interest.
That was, yeah.
And provide some headroom because we're not doing those payments over the next couple of years.
To then put
toward actually delivering services people care about.
Right.
You know? You know, to me, it was a really cool step toward the direction we want to take with financial sustainability. Mm-hmm. You know, honest conversations about where we're at and what it takes to run a city, some of the challenges, some of the legal constraints, frankly, that are hard to understand and don't expect everybody to. You know, you can't just take money from one place and throw it in another and all that. And actually where we want to go as a community, because we have to balance a budget. I mean, that's like when I put forward the city manager's proposed budget, it has to eventually be a balanced budget. So we'll always do that. What it means, though, is if we have less than desired, we have to cut things. So, you know, we don't want to be on the back foot forever. This bond payment helps us get a little bit more on the front foot. And so, yeah, we just wired $1.6 million,
wow,
a little bit more,
yeah,
to a bank to pay it off in full. And it felt really good. And I'm really grateful for City Council and their policy direction for this.
This needed to be taken care of.
Yeah.
I know when we had Connie mm-hmm. and Monica McHager on,
yeah,
there were some smiles as we started to discuss, you know, bonds and
yeah,
and interest and what we could do about them. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of the that direction come to fruition.
Yes. Yeah.
At least this stage of fruition.
Yeah. I was trying to put together some sort of fun analogy around bond and Casino Royale and paying off money, but I can't do it. I just kind of fell short there. But yeah,
well, that would be gambling.
That would be actually. Well, I mean,
and that's not what this is.
No, it's definitely not. It's kind of the reverse of what this is.
Exactly.
It's not gambling on our future and hoping that things don't break. It's actually making sure the foundation is stronger. And so then I'll point people to, well, you know, we're engaged in a conversation that flows right from this early payoff of this bond. And I'm not against, you know, debt. I think there's a role for debt in a city infrastructure to sort of take and amortize the, you know, investments over multiple generations and make it more fair. But we also don't want to overuse a tool, because then all we're doing is paying millions of dollars in debt payments.
Service.
That's not where we want to be either. So,
well, yeah. And I noticed you mentioned that it was a consolidated bond.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first question that comes up when you say, we paid off a bond, the question is, well, which bond did we pay off? And what is it that we got for it? So the problem with this is that the way I was listening when Connie was here is that the way city finance has been working is that as these bonds reach certain points in their mm-hmm. life, we can then refinance them, mm-hmm. roll them together, and so we're at a point now where these are like a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they've mm-hmm. all been put in a box,
mm-hmm.
and that's the box we're now paying on. So it's hard to say really what
it is. A lot of street, sidewalk, Water Street investments for at least one of them. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a lot of things. You're exactly right. And I guess for me, maybe this says more about my own philosophy, but I just think about my mortgage. It's my first mortgage. Technically my second, because we got a mortgage on our first house when we moved here. And then a year later, we refinanced. And the temptation was, great, let's refinance at a lower rate. And while we're at it, let's start again from now.
Reset the clock.
But
yeah,
there's a temptation to do that. But what that does is buys you time. And it doesn't keep you on track to pay it off. And so mm-hmm. I think there's always a temptation to do that. And I would argue, and again, it's City Council that makes the policy direction, not the city manager, but I would at least suggest and advocate for discipline in, you know, what are we using to, what kind of bond instruments are we using? What kind of debt are we taking on? And then what is our plan to pay them off? And what are the trade-offs? And I think if we are disciplined, we could use any tool to positive benefit. If we kind of say, well, let's just roll this in, let's roll that in, let's push the payback period back a little bit, it just gets a little bit like we're mortgaging our future. And I almost see my role as opposite, is how do we make the future a better one, mm-hmm. Not just push all of the tough decisions off until then.
This is a good step in that direction, I would say.
And I was hoping to segue that into next week's pool extravaganza public engagement opportunity.
Well, okay, that's right there on the list too.
Hey, all right, bingo.
So, we'll have to make a card.
We should, yeah.
I'm sorry, that just tickles me. pool extravaganza.
Yeah. It's probably not the right communication tool to use, but maybe
a bingo card?
Well, no, just using pool and extravaganza in the same sentence, but let me try to explain.
Please explain, because I'm not sure I know what this is yet.
Sitting very close to a pool right now, which has been on its last legs for, you know, probably a decade.
It's the Mountain View pool.
Yes. The community has recognized that is suboptimal for a number of decades, and we've tried over a number of decades to think forward, well, what next? And for various reasons that has not been successful, And, you know, this is not meant to be disparaging to historical efforts because it's been hard. People have given their heart and soul. And there's a lot I don't know about why things didn't work out. But I think the point I made about discipline is probably a salient point for us right now, you know, because if we wanted to do something truly fantastic, it would be well beyond our means to pay for it. And if we wanted to have the city do it by ourselves and just kind of go in on our own, it would be impossible. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm really excited about is the conversation around a future aquatic center, you know, if, how, where, how much. All of that kicks off on Monday at City Council at a workshop session. So there'll be a presentation by the very esteemed Carrie Height, who's mm-hmm. also leading the golf course conversation, separate initiative, but obviously they're, you know, related in some ways. And she'll take council through the basics of what we've been doing with a number of very close partners.
Partners, yeah.
So the YMCA, the hospital, the county, the port, the school district. I'm sure I'm missing some. JAC, Jefferson Aquatic Coalition. It's been a great collaborative effort.
Everybody has a need here,
yeah.
But nobody has the means to do the whole thing.
True.
So it does the city see themselves in a leadership role of pulling this stuff together?
I think leadership might be maybe puffing up a little much. I'd say we're a convening agency, and we've decided that we would put some of what was technically, or maybe not technically, our federal ARPA funding, mm-hmm. That we would invest in our future by at least coordinating the planning process. And so that's how we got folks to the table. And then once we got to the table, actually all those partners I mentioned said, well, we're in for a dime, we're in for a dollar. They said, we understand that to plan something well and to get the outcome that kind of crashes through the restraints that, you know, somehow have stopped us previously, we need to actually do it professionally to put money toward it. And so that's why we're, you know, we have a consultant that's been hired, about to kick off. The consultants will be there as well. And then an open house on Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock at Fort Worden next week. I'll repeat that, next Tuesday, 6 o'clock.
Okay, so Monday night is the workshop meeting,
yep.
And then Tuesday evening.
Tuesday evening, you can go to Fort Worden. And
the Commons?
At the Commons. That's the largest space that we could really find, assuming that, you know, like we had a problem with seats, because the last open house we did there,
right,
300 plus people showed up.
Yeah.
And I love it. So, hey, those same 300 and maybe others, show up.
That was the golf course.
It's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're just anticipating interest. And so we're rolling out the biggest facility we can. We're also partnering with Y for childcare. So top marks to them for providing childcare
at the event.
At the event.
Which you did for the other event.
That's correct. And we'll likely try to keep doing that because it seems that people like that.
I was just going to do kids show up for the for the childcare? So that actually frees up their adults to then participate as in the city discussion.
It's true, and this sounds a little silly, but I mean it freed me up to some degree too, because my child was there in the childcare drawing stuff and running around having a good time, and of course she had sticky dots and she wanted to participate in the public process but not, you know, sit through.
Is that why you ran out of dots?
No. She got the exact allocated amount that everybody
else Everybody did. Got, what, five dots or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But, you know, she's eight. She's got opinions.
And she's a resident of the city.
It's true.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. I should be a little less close-minded about it. I will open up my mind.
I was thinking functionally, well, great. You know, she's always a joy to hang out with no matter what the context, but it does make me a bit more accessible to people when I'm not doting on my child during a public open house. So,
right.
We have this on Monday. If you want to really get into the meat of the city council presentation, you can come to that workshop, ask questions, you know, put up comments. On Tuesday, you can go to the open house at the Commons at Fort Worden, 6 to 8. And then if you miss the open house in person, there's another
open house. Are you going to do a virtual open house?
On Thursday, exactly.
Oh.
6 to 8 on Thursday.
I'm starting to get the rhythm of this.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had some positive feedback. Now, we can't make everybody happy, obviously. But, you know, evenings seem to work better for those who are working. Childcare helps those who have families. A little bit of food doesn't hurt anybody. And then multiple formats, you know, like let's actually be in person because some people love it. Some people are not ready for that. So let's also provide a virtual opportunity. It's a lot of effort on the team's part, but actually it's really worth it because if, like the golf course, we have hundreds participating, then we're truly determining our future on aquatics together.
That's good.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm just going to reflect. You said that you're more accessible to the public when you're not having your daughter with you. I think maybe you ought to consider that, you know, maybe you're more accessible to the public when they know that you have a young daughter.
Oh, possibly. So you know, she was a hit at the Roadhouse. I took her when I was doing my coffee with the city managers like 3 years ago. Uh-huh. We, for some reason, I think her mom was
Oh, you went to the Roadhouse?
Went to the Roadhouse for coffee with whoever wanted to come and talk to me. And she sat in the booth and, you know, I think got a hot chocolate as we were drinking coffee and talking about stuff. So, yeah. Yeah, she's a charmer, that one.
She's got a future in politics, perhaps.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if that, you know, plenty of opportunities.
She's going to have plenty of experience of talking to the grown-ups in the room.
Right. That's right. That's right. But I guess main message here, of course, I love my daughter. The second message, you know, come engage with us on the future of aquatics in Port Townsend and the region. It's going to be a really exciting exercise about what we can do together. And I really, truly believe we can do something. We're not just going to sit on, you know, basically an asset right now, the pool, that is completely falling apart. It should have died a long time ago.
Let it run down and die, right?
Well, it's on life support, you know, so before it actually completely is inoperable, let's work on what next.
Yeah. Okay. We are about out of time. John, thank you. I'm glad you're back, and I thought it was very interesting your reflection that about the perspective of going away and coming back, and you do look tan, ready, and rested. And for anyone who's not familiar with that quote, are you familiar with that quote?
I guess I'm not.
Richard Nixon.
Oh, good Lord.
He said he was tan, ready, and rested, which put me, you see, I'm going someplace here.
I do see this.
So that put me in mind of Frank Zappa's A Son of Orange County, which I sadly, it's a wonderful song. It's all instrumental, except in the middle of it, he says, "I am not a crook."
That's great.
Richard Nixon was from Orange County.
That's right.
But as long as I was on the Frank Zappa line, I thought we would go out with a tune called Pink Napkins. And it's from a great Frank Zappa album, mostly because he doesn't sing. The name of the album is Shut Up and Play Your Guitar. Pink Napkins. And that's it for Brew Now. Good talking to you,
Thanks,
John.
Thanks, everybody. Great to see you, Taylor.